three points that I'd like to make, and I hope this will bless you. But I really want to hitch it to what has already been happening. Part of what we just experienced is you sharing in the priesthood of all believers. You exercising your priestly ministry. Remember that we all enter into the priestly, kingly, prophetic ministry of Christ. And so you are exercising, if you like, that ministry by listening. And I think if we had time, there would be an opportunity for all of you to be able to enter in. And some of you might be thinking, well, I didn't really get anything. Well, you may have been because the Lord wanted you just to receive, right? He just wanted you to receive. And it's like, then don't sweat that. Just receive. Just receive it. Just let it come. Just let it come to you. The beautiful thing is, again, is everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to play. And sometimes we're the ones who cheer on others, and sometimes we're ones right there out there in the game. But it's being able to receive. The second thing I wanted to make mention of is just, again, just this short little teaching of a pithy statement that goes like this. The prophetic is an invitation. It's not a guarantee. Okay? The prophetic is an invitation. It's not a guarantee. What does that mean? There's words that have been given today. And if that any of those words resonated with you, and you hear that, and you go, wow, that blesses me, or I can relate to that. That's an invitation that the Lord is saying, come to me. It's not a guarantee. In other words, I may have to contend a bit. I may have to be able to say, I want to receive that. And I want everything that you have. The prophetic is an invitation. It's not a guarantee. The Lord wants to guarantee, but we need to partner with that. We need to be willing to say, yes, I want to receive that. Lord, if there's still something that needed to go in that garbage can that I didn't let go of, I want to give it right now. Lord, if there's still any shame or guilt that I feel that I want to give that right now. Lord, if there's still any kind of wrestling that I'm still kind of going through, I want to let that go right now. It's an invitation. It's always an invitation. It's always an invitation. And so to make sure that that invitation becomes guaranteed, it's like we say yes, right? We say yes. The other thing that I wanted to just briefly say would be we're also experiencing what the gospel is talking about today. Now, with any particular scripture passage, you can come at it from so many different vantage points, and what I'm about to say by no means exhausts the meaning of this particular passage. Remembering that every passage, every parable, all of that is like this diamond that has these reflections and refractions that are gorgeous, and depending upon how you see it and how the light hits it, you look at it and you see something else gorgeous, and you move over here and you see something else gorgeous, and you move over here and you see something else gorgeous. And the wonder of it. And so when we approach any particular scripture, as I've said to you, and I say to me, that we can be somewhat familiar with scriptures and say, oh, I get that, I understand all of that. What if we were to take a step back and go, God, do you desire to reveal more? Is there something else in here that you want me to see that I didn't see before? So what if we were to take this particular gospel and hitch it to what we just did? Be like if you had a wagon and you bring a couple of horses and you hitch the horses to the wagon so the wagon starts to move. So what if we were to take what we did right now and hitch it to that gospel? And in the midst of that, let's just say for the sake of argument that for all of you who had a word that spoke that word, would you raise your hand? So there was one, two, three, four, five, six of you. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that the words that were spoken this morning, let's just say for the sake of argument, That was the first time she had ever done that. The very first time that she had ever given a word in a gathering such as this. Very first time. And let's say that this fine fellow here has been doing it for 40 years. You get where I'm going with this? He's been doing it for 40 years. And all of a sudden there's that awareness like, wow, the work that I'm called to enter into, that the work that the Lord continues to invite me into, I may be just beginning or I may be seasoned at it. And the Lord gives his Spirit without measure. Isn't that what the scriptures say? He gives his Spirit without measure. In other words, he doesn't give Father Don 68.9% and then over here, it's 53%. And then right here, it's 92%. And right there, it's 1. Sorry, Robert. But what if you were to say he gives his Spirit without measure 100%? 100% to all of us. 100%. And the Lord were to say, I know you've been standing idle, but you can play. You get the whole denarius. And it doesn't matter if you started 40 years ago, or it doesn't matter if you just started today. It's all yours. And just because somebody's been doing it longer doesn't mean that somehow they're better or anything than you. It's just somewhere along the line, the Lord came out and said, I'm calling you again. I'm calling you again. Come on. It's all yours. It's all yours. He gives it without measure. And when we consider some of the words that were spoken today, it's like it would appear to me that there is some stuff that people want to lay down. Want people to breathe. Want people to catch their breath. Want to have a sense of again, like, okay, you're here, you're with us, you're working this through, you're doing all of this. And somebody who might have been called early morning got this word to be able to speak, and somebody who may have been called at 6 o'clock in the evening got a word, and it all fits. You follow me? And you realize we just experienced, and like I said, that's just one way to approach this gospel, we just experienced personally how that works. We were just able to see the gospel come alive in our midst. And we all had the opportunity to play, every single person, every one of us, nobody being left out, whether it was 40 years ago or whether it was today. And guess what? Next Sunday, it's going to be the same thing. But not only that, tomorrow's going to be the same thing. That's pretty cool. So the last thing I just wanted to share briefly is when I think of this notion of the Lord gives a Spirit without measure. When I say the word final doxology, how many of you know what I'm referring to and what part of the service is the final doxology? Bom, bom. And your answer is? And how much did you risk?
Did I risk everything?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Key, you've lost everything.
Okay, there's more tomorrow. Without measure.
Now, obviously, that was a setup. Okay. So this is what's called the final doxology. See if this sounds familiar to you. by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. That's called the final doxology. Okay, it concludes what's called the Eucharistic canon. Before we pray that great prayer, the Our Father, and before we come up to receive. You with me? So think about by him, with him, and in him. Think about the implications of that. So if I could direct your attention to back there. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, that this wonderful young man right here was the one who built this door, built this opening. And we were to say, this morning, when we came into the building, and someone would say, do you realize that you came into the building by entrance in regards to he had built that? So I'm coming in through something. You following me? By him. In other words, he built it. So who built this opening? Robert built this opening. So I'm coming through this entrance because he built it. So I'm coming through here by him. Because if he hadn't built that, I wouldn't have been able to get in the building. Are you with me? So I'm coming in by him, by his, or through. You with me? Robert, you want to come here?
Yeah, I guess I'll do my 1%.
Oh, great. Thank you. You make me so energized. I really appreciate that. So what if, and I'm going to take your hand. Okay. So what if I came through the door, and I'm coming through the door, and I'm coming what?
With him.
With him.
Yes.
So first of all, I come through the door by the fact that he built it. But then secondly, I come through the door with him. Okay. This third one's impossible apart from grace. It's coming through the door in him. You with me? So my legal position in Christ is not simply going in certain areas of my life by the fact that Jesus has prepared the way. So I'm going by where he's already gone. So I'm going by what he's already done. It's a little bit more meaningful if I can say, well, he's already prepared the way and I'm going with him. Okay? But what if all of a sudden I look at my legal position in Christ and going, my heavens, I'm not only going the way that he's already prepared and with him, but if I understand my legal position in Christ, who I am in Christ, I'm going in him. You follow me? So this whole notion of continuing to know our identity in Christ, and I've been stressing that for a couple years because it seems like it's been really important. Maybe I'm just a figment of my own imagination. But to really focus on our identity in Christ, and to the extent that we continue to grasp, and it goes from here to here, who we are in Christ, our legal position in Christ, not simply by him, and not only with him, but actually in him. Remember where it says we're seated in Christ in heavenly places? That we've died and our life is hidden in him, we're in Christ, that's my legal position. And if all of a sudden I begin to become more and more aware that's my legal position, the moment that Jesus, I invited him to come into my life, he takes over my life, takes over my story, and now I'm in him, he's in me, there's this union. I'm not simply going by how he's already prepared the way. I'm not simply going with him, I'm now in him. Do you understand the depth, how it goes deeper? And the extent of being able to grasp that, of what it means to be in him, my legal position. And here's where the disconnect happens. And again, when I say where the disconnect happens, consider all the words that we had this morning. Where the disconnect happens is when I kind of lose sight of my legal position because I'm too focused on my what? Living condition. And I'm focused on my living condition, and I'm focused upon all the garbage, and I'm focused upon all the heaviness, and I'm focused upon all this other stuff. So my living condition does not reflect my legal position, because it seems like my living condition becomes more real than my legal position. And the moment that my living condition becomes more real than my legal position, then I am sort of like the Ninevites walking around, don't know my left hand from my right hand. And I feel trapped because I don't know how to get out of it. And so what does the Lord? He sends Jonah, the one person who doesn't want to go, and says, I'm sending you to set those people free. Because they don't know how to get free. They're walking around in circles. They don't know their left hand from their right hand. They don't know how to get out of their mess. So I'm sending you as a prophet to speak into that situation that they will recognize who they can become and who they are and who the Lord wants them to be. Does that make sense to you? And then we as Christians who profess to know him at times are walking around, and what a word picture about the garbage cans. It's like the Lord saying, would you let go of it for heaven's sakes? Would you just let go? Just put it in there. Come in here and let me speak to you, reminding you what your legal position is because of him. And all of a sudden, that begins to put the living condition into a proper perspective. I was thinking of Bridget's word about, you know, we're kind of battling at times with stuff. And you think about it, and some of the others, what Teresa was saying. You know, Linda, about interceding and praying for people. Billy, about the Lord's faithfulness. Was it his generosity?
He never changes.
Yeah, never changes. And you think, wow, I needed to hear that. And I needed to hear that from those who had just been given the denarius, whether it was at 9 o'clock in the morning or whether it was 6 o'clock at night, because the Lord again wants to say, remember who you are in me. Maybe there is a value of going to church on a regular basis. Just a thought.
Amen.
Just a thought, you know. No, I think I can go once a month is good. You know. And then when I get my act together, maybe once every 2 or 3 months. You know, and then when I have a need, okay, I'll go a couple weeks in a row. But what all of a sudden something changes there and saying, I'm a carrier. I'm a carrier of Christ, and I get to go into an assembly, and the Lord may release something in me that's going to set somebody else free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I just thought it was so gracious this morning. That again, we just kind of spontaneously began to sing in tongues. Robert was singing in tongues. Jane was singing in tongues. Others were singing in tongues. I was, and I could hear people. And I don't know if all of you were doing that. I don't know if for some of you that's still a bit foreign. But again, here's my qualifier. It's so important that nobody feels left out or that somehow your spirituality is not in par with somebody else's. Don't go there. Just don't go there, okay? It is just making what it is that we do here real. Yes. It's got to be real. And somewhere we have to begin to making that connection that what we just did here this morning wasn't getting a 3-point homily about things that you need to take home and work on that gets your life better. That your work is, okay, do point number one, point number two, point number three. Go home, work on those things, and come back next week. And I'll add by way of an expository sermon, I'll add a couple more points for you to begin going home and working on next. And so now you have 5 points. And the following week, I'll give 2 or 3 more, and then you'll have 8. And you go back and you keep reviewing those. There's nothing wrong with that. But what if the Lord wants to say something right now in the moment as to what's going on right now, and you think he just gave a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6-point sermon. Bang, 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 bang. And you think, I walked away from that, and I just got a sermon from who? Not me. Bing! From him. That's pretty cool. Because all of a sudden you think, who do I want to be leading the church? The Holy Spirit. Becomes a bit risky. Becomes a bit risky. Because you think, what if, you know, like it says the that proverb, where you have an oxen that's working, you can get a little poop in the stall. It's a bit risky, but I look at it and think, man, I want to hear what he is on his heart. I want to hear what's on his heart. And how can I know what's on his heart if I can't hear from another brother or sister functioning in their priestly ministry, letting that go, being able to play, and the Lord releases, and all of a sudden you think, oh, God, thank you. I have permission not to feel guilty. I have permission not to feel ashamed. I have permission to let go of anxiety and worry. I have permission to realize that my wrestling with things is maybe somehow the Lord continuing to bring me into a deeper insight about something that the Lord's calling me into. I have permission to realize that I can put all that crap in that garbage can out there and leave it there. I got permission to do that. I have permission to, yikes, be happy. I have permission to be able to say, God, I desire to have the joy and the peace and the righteousness of your kingdom because that's what you're about. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So do we have the creed?